Brett, sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Look out. It's only films to be buried with. Hello, Films to be Buried With crew. This is your producer, Buddy Peace. I am checking in on behalf of Brett, your usual voice you will hear at the start of every episode, just to let you know what's going on with this episode and perhaps a few going into the future. Basically, due to the ongoing SAG-AFTRA strike, we will be temporarily on pause and there will be a few rewind episodes, basically episodes where we look back into the voluminous archives of Films to be Buried With and present you with a few sort of repackaged and repolished episodes from our history. And in this case, we have a fabulous episode with Sarah Snook, who you might be familiar with from her character Shiv and Succession, which at that point in time was, I think it had just finished its second season. So we had a further two more seasons to come. And also, so this episode was recorded in person with Brett, and they were working on, at that point, an untitled project which would go on to be known as Soulmates. This episode was aired originally on January the 16th, 2020. So that marks it a, well, you could call it a pre-pandemic podcast episode. So it's pretty interesting going back to hear this one in particular, because obviously so much has happened since in terms of what Sarah's been working on and in the world. So it's an interesting one to hear in a different context. Yeah, we really think you'll like this one. It's lovely to hear Sarah, because I don't think she does a whole ton of these kind of things. So yeah, please enjoy. And we will check in again with a few more rewind episodes going back into the Films to be Buried With archives. But for now, please enjoy the wonderful Sarah Snook.
Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is me, Brett Goldstein, and I am joined today by a writer, a director, a award-nominated, and when this comes out, possibly award-winning, although she's won awards before, let's face it, she's absolutely decorated. She's caked in awards. She is an actor and a hero and successional. Please welcome to the show the brilliant Sarah Snook.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah. How
Hi.
Are you?
I'm good. Did you call me a succession lord?
I said you were successional.
Oh, successional. Cool. Yeah.
We are in Madrid.
Yeah.
The show that Will Bridges and I co-created and wrote. You play the lead in the in the opening
pilot.
Episode.
Yeah.
And you were so phenomenal that we decided to say that you had to come back to Madrid to film an extra scene. But in fact, it was a trap to make you do the podcast.
Got it. I knew it.
So thank you for coming. I knew it. Yeah. Thank you for coming back.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me back.
Where do I start? So you don't do a lot of podcasts?
Yeah, I think I have done one and only one, and I don't think I've done more. But I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
A lot of podcasts.
Do you listen to the serious, depressing ones?
Yes. I feel like there's like a constant guilt over my head that I'm not learning enough or not engaging my brain enough. And so I'm constantly listening to stuff that sometimes I'm boring myself with, but I'm like, must cram information in now that I don't, you know, that I'm not at university or at school or anything.
Riddle me this. You live in New York.
Yeah.
You're from Australia.
Yeah.
You're in a show that people fucking love. And sort of everyone I know, it's all they talk about. So what is that like for you?
It's weird. It's odd being on the inside of it. And I, at the same time, I was also like, I love the show myself. So it's kind of, it's great because like, what a kick to be with people who are like, I love your show. I was like, me too. I love, you know, everyone on the show and they're all such talented people and creatives who make it and the technical sort of the crew who make it as well are also so great. And like, it's a very good experience to create the show. So to have people like it is icing on the cake, really, because I'd keep making it if people didn't like it because it's so much fun.
And you're sort of trapped contractually as well if you didn't, hated it.
Yeah, it's lucky that it's a nice prison.
Yeah, that's very good. You like films?
I do like films, but I feel like I'm constantly, maybe this is a theme, like I feel like I've not seen enough films and I'm like, I've not seen that film, and I feel like I'm always like behind on information and I'm behind on films and behind on TV. And
a lot of pressure on yourself. You're cramming a lot of news in your head, don't
you? Yeah.
You've got time for
stop
films.
Watching, listen to podcasts and start watching more films.
Okay, let's get into this. I've forgotten to tell you something. You've come all this way.
Yeah.
You've come all the way to Madrid, come back to Madrid from New York, and I've forgotten to tell you, and I feel like a dickhead, because I probably should have told you.
Before I got on the plane?
Yeah, in a way. Because at least you could have been a bit more prepared, but fuck it, I'll just tell you. You've died.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? So,
yeah, really.
Damn it.
How'd you feel? How did you die?
I feel a lot freer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't have to keep cramming all them depressing podcasts in your head.
Yeah. You don't have to keep watching bloody movies.
Yeah.
Although in heaven I get to watch as many, provided I'm going to heaven, there is a heaven.
We'll see.
I get to watch as many movies as I want.
How did you die?
I died in a great space accident.
Nice.
Yes.
What happened?
Well, because it would be hard, I think, for you to just suddenly die. Because you would have no impact and not feel the pain, and like you'd have impact and not feel the pain and all that kind of stuff. And that's great for you, but not nice for your family. But I thought that if I went into space, that everyone's sort of on board with the possible dangers of me going into space for this sort of, I don't know what it is, but it's like some sort of gala thing of like, just some heroic thing in space.
Oh, you're doing something good.
I'm doing something good in space, and it's likely that I could perish. And
if just sorting out climate change is like popping a plug in the atmosphere.
And if I managed to succeed, then I'm a hero. But I could actually also die trying. And so then it's painless for me because I just run out of oxygen and go into delirium and then I die. That's nice.
Is it?
Yeah, because like you would have, you'd
sort of, like drowning in space.
It's like drowning, but in space. I wouldn't like to drown because of the panic of drowning. But in space, there's no gravity, and so there's like less potential for panic.
Right. In your death, have you like popped out of the spaceship? Are you just free floating?
Yeah, I had to do something on the spacecraft.
And you were on this side of it with all the gear on?
Yeah. It's a bit like gravity, I guess, now that I think about it, which terrified me as a film.
Right.
And also, what a view. Like, you see...
Lovely view. No one's arguing with that.
And then you come, you know, if you re-entered the atmosphere, you'd burn up.
Which way are you going? But you're burning up as you re-enter the atmosphere.
No, I'm going... I'm already dead. I'm dead in space.
So you fell off the edge of a spaceship.
Yeah.
Trying to fix something.
Yeah.
And you slowly ran out of oxygen and went and that is a nicer death than drowning.
Well, maybe I wouldn't slowly run out of oxygen. I would just open my mask.
But then your head would explode.
Would it?
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
I'll slowly run out of oxygen then. would your head actually explode?
Yeah.
I've seen Total Recall. I think it does because the pressure is too much or something.
Maybe I'd pump all the oxygen in at once so that I overinflate my... I'm like, because isn't there like an oxygen saturation? Isn't there like a weird high or delirium thing that you'd go into? Basically, I would need to pass out and then obviously die because...
You're really after a buzz at this moment of death. I get that. I'm slightly worried about the build-up to the delirium.
Well, because I have to be in space because yeah. I feel like for family and friends, it's not nice to just suddenly die. So then if they are prepared for my death somehow.
So you've treated it like a goalkeeper soccer during a penalty shootout in that you're a hero because no one's expecting you to save any. If you save one, you're amazing.
Yeah.
You're going on a space mission that is doomed. No one's expected you to come back. But if you did, amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But instead, you fell off the edge. You just fell off the spaceship.
But I also,
but we still think you're a hero? You
Before I fell off, I gave some really important data.
Right.
Data collection that was really important, that intrinsic to saving the world in the future.
Right. And it did help? This account, the accounts that you downloaded from space?
Yes, really helped. Yeah, I sent them straight to Greta Thunberg and she, you know, she's the queen of the world at that time. This isn't, you know, this isn't like 60 years time, you know.
Okay. Oh, so you're quite
old. I'm a 90-year-old.
So you're a 90-year-old.
I'm a 92-year-old astronaut.
You've gone out to do some invoicing in space. You've stepped off the side of the rocket. You're like, oh, I'll just
pulling apart my death.
Input the data. Oops, I've fallen off. Oh, I'll tell you what will give me a nice high. Nice breath of air. Opens the visor. Head explodes.
No, this is... You're making a mockery of my death.
No, it's very cinematic.
Yeah, yeah. Pity I didn't watch many movies.
And people, they're sad, but they were prepared.
They were prepared.
As you went up as a 92-year-old...
Probably none of them left anymore.
Yeah, they said, well, she's the likelihood of her.
Yeah, she's had a good innings.
Yeah.
92-year-old astronaut. Yeah.
It's a good idea, actually, send 92-year-olds on missions, on suicide missions.
It's a great idea.
It's actually a very good idea.
Yeah, that was what I was paving the way for.
That's your legacy.
I was the first, yeah.
Lots of old people going, what the fuck, now I've got to go and save the world again.
Yeah.
Yes, Grandma, and we're going to say goodbye now. Just before you
just in case.
I love that. All right. Do you worry about death?
No. I don't know whether it's because I haven't had a close family member pass away, sort of like immediate family, but I haven't had a lot of experience with death, and sort of blithely I think that I'm fine with it, but I'm sure that once it sort of...
You don't worry about your own death, like as in you're not scared.
I've had a good life.
You have?
I'm pretty happy. I often think that. It's like, well, this is enough. It's great. So far, so good. Thanks.
That's very healthy. Do you think there's an afterlife?
I wouldn't rule it out. I think it would be presumptuous of us to completely rule that out because who's to say?
I mean, you are.
In which case I would say, yes, there's some sort of energetic, spiritual, I don't know, there's something, surely, something.
Yeah, I think so.
Very arrogant of us to presume absolutely not when there are so many other wonders in the universe.
What is it?
What is the afterlife? Yeah. Energy echoes, and that painting looks like the afterlife.
Yeah, I'm in an apartment in Madrid where there are two paintings on the wall that look like they're in Twin Peaks Firewalk with Me, and they scare me every night. And sometimes I think if you look at them long enough, you will appear in them.
That's the afterlife.
That's the afterlife. Yeah. Fucking painting of the David Lynch film. Oh boy.
I don't know. Something. There's something there.
Yeah.
We can't be the only miracle of the universe, you know, like it's kind of, you know, I'm sure that somehow we'll find life somewhere, even if it's in sort of another dimension. I've no idea, but I'm not going to rule it out.
I like that. Do you think there's multiple realities happening at once?
Possibly. I don't know. Like a sliding doors kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not really. yes, but no.
Okay.
No, I mean, I like the idea of it. Well, isn't that what, I mean, Einstein said that time is like a loaf of bread and if you sliced it into slices and put a point.
Einstein's life is like a loaf of bread. Quote.
Don't you remember Einstein Gump? It's No, one of the scientists, oh God, described it. Now I sound really dumb. But there's like, it's like time is, can be described like a loaf of bread. And if you drew a point from one side of a loaf to the other, even if you sliced it and then reorganized it, those points would be in different places. But still, it's like a relativity thing. I don't know. It's,
oh, what? They're fixed. You can shuffle the bread.
You can shuffle the bread and they're fixed only by...
Come on.
I can see the diagram and I can't explain it.
I know that
time is like a loaf of bread.
Yes.
Yes, multiple dimensions and realities can be happening at once because time is a construct in our own minds because we have to organize the passage of deterioration, I guess, and the passage of time and things. But that it's our own experience of it and that there is apparently argument that all things are all happening all at once. So the ancient Egypt and Einstein and all these things are all happening all at once. It's just our perception of how we experience it personally. We're always in the center of it. So we can discern that there is a future and discern that there is a past. It's only relative to us because we're in the center of that moment. I'm sure I'm getting this science wrong.
And that is exactly like a loaf of bread.
Apparently it's like a loaf of bread. Yeah. I'm going to find the scientist and tell you. It's like, I don't know, not Brian Cox, but one of those scientists.
One of my other co-stars. Well, you were right, after all. There is a heaven. And it's filled with cinemas.
Ah, brilliant.
Your favourite kind of cinema, which is?
I really like a cinema that serves you food.
Do you?
I can dig that. Not into.
Do you know what? I was even looking today to go to the cinema and the nearest one is one of them ones with like luxury reclining. I'm not going for a nap.
Not into the luxury reclining. No, not that.
I want to sit up straight.
There's one in Williamsburg called Nighthawk. It's in Prospect Park as well. Yeah. And it's like upright chairs, but there's like a little table between the two of you and you can just like order a cocktail or order nachos. And like, I kind of dig that.
Yeah.
There's something, yeah.
I think I treat cinema like some sort of punishment that I think should be fucking sat in an uncomfortable chair.
I was going to say some sort of church, but you
punishment. Yeah, a bit of both. Sit up on an uncomfortable chair, straight.
Wow.
No one come bringing you shit.
This
you're
is
there
church.
To watch the thing. Yeah. You're there to watch the fucking thing. Not to have a lie down and a meal. Yeah. Pathetic.
Do you know what, actually?
Yeah.
My favourite cinema is a full one because my favourite cinema-going experiences have been when it's been full, when it's a theatre full of people. I always prefer films. I always like, you know, I love the films I see at film festivals because they're often full cinemas.
Yeah.
And because people are reacting audibly to what they're watching. And they're also often at film festivals, you know, film nerds and buffs and fanatics, so they're more willing to react. But yeah, my favourite experiences of film watching have been in full cinemas.
You like Community?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
In This Heaven, everyone's obsessed with films. It's like an old film festival crowd, actually. But like not in a bad way. And when they ask questions at Q&A, they actually ask questions. They don't just tell you
that they're writing that they a script.
They're making their own thing. And, and anyway, that was, it's more of a comment than a question.
Yeah.
Anyway, they want to know about your life through films. The first thing they ask you is, what is the first film you remember seeing?
Okay. The first film I remember seeing at the cinema was Aladdin. And I went it was Matthew Noble's birthday, and I was the only girl invited.
Shout out to Matthew Noble.
I don't know if I've seen him since. I think I was about 5 or so when that came out, and I was the only girl invited.
Wow.
And I loved it. We were all sitting in a row in the cinema and I was just in rapture watching this. And to the point where at the end, my favorite point, like the genie doing all his stuff, obsessed. And when the genie pulled, like they kiss. So I'm really into the story. They kiss and all the boys next to me went, and I had been like, you know, leaning forward in my seat going, and then they kissed. I'm like, oh my goodness. And hear this. I go, oh no. Oh, sort of immediate judgment or shame of going, yay, romance. And then, boys don't like romance. Oh, hang on. What's going on here? And then having this like roller coaster of emotion where suddenly the genie pulls up the screen and goes, made you look. And I was like, he's in the cinema. He's there. Like it's so meta, not even really knowing what that meant, but just thought that was the cleverest.
How many geezers were you out with?
makes it sound like a really weird five-year-old date.
Yeah.
There might have been about 13 of us, or like 10 of us at least. Oh, no, maybe not. But I remember catching the tram back later. We were standing on the platform and everyone was like talking about the film. And I was like, yeah, when they wrote on the carpet was, oh, and the genie, and they're like, yeah, but how gross is it when they kiss? I'm like, oh, yeah.
I hope I never kiss. What did you do that Matthew Noble, who was a year above, no less, was like, I don't like girls, but she's cool.
Our sisters used to go to, well, we went to the same, we did go to the same school. Our sisters were in the same year, so they were friends. And I would go around and play with Matthew, I think, as well. And, you know, we would play cars and trucks and, like, I was a bit of a tomboy. And my sisters would dress me up for photo shoots at their house in, like, little Bo Peep outfits or with their dog Minus, who terrified me completely.
Minus?
Like, yeah, this tiny little Jack Russell called Minus. Fucking terror of a dog.
Interesting name.
Yeah, really sharp claws. He didn't like me and I didn't like him, and yet we had to pose for photos together.
Was it with Matthew Noble's mum and dad? Mr. and Mrs. Noble took you?
Lynn Noble took us, yeah. Yeah.
Shout out to Lynn. Amazing. And a big old cinema?
And Matthew Noble's dad was my dentist for years, like 18 years straight would have been, until I moved out of Adelaide to Sydney. Yeah. Wow, forgot about that. No, even longer. Yeah. Mr. Noble.
Great
dentist.
Teeth. Yeah. Congrats, Dr. Noble.
Yeah.
You loved the cinema. Big old cinema?
The one where I saw Aladdin?
Yeah.
Yeah, would have been. Yeah, would have been like...
Did you think I want to do this?
Not then. I didn't know that that was a job.
You didn't know you could be an animated character?
No, I didn't. I just wanted to be. No.
How many siblings you got?
Two older sisters.
All close?
9 age, 10 and 6 years older. But yeah, we're close. Yeah.
What is the film that made you cry the most?
I remember, I have a specific memory of crying, because I cry a lot in films, and I cry on planes a lot. And sometimes I will choose the film in order to cry on planes. Like, I'll be like, this looks like a sad film, I'm on a plane, I'm going to watch it, because it's just so good. I don't know what
makes
it is.
Better.
I don't know, there's something in, but it's anecdotal, I don't know what the science says, but there's anecdotal evidence of crying on planes happens more. So I'll set it up so that I do. And I didn't do this in this case, but I remember watching Warrior with Joel Edgerton. And bawling. Bawling. I can't really remember what the film's about.
Yeah.
But bawling.
Episode 6 of this show that you're in, one of the big visual references is Warrior.
Oh, there you go. I found it really upsetting.
Well, it's a really good film with a really ridiculous pitch. If you just hear the pitch, you go, this is dog shit.
Mm.
Two brothers... was forced to UFC each other.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's the, the pitch.
Yeah.
And they'll finally work out who's the two estranged
brothers.
That's
right. Yeah.
Got a UFC.
Yeah. Found it desperately sad.
Yeah.
And then, like, as a kid, my girl, obviously, killed me. It was like death. That was like...
There's your death.
Yeah, that's a real first experience of death.
So when you say you haven't experienced loss, you mean... Other than Macaulay
Culkin, yeah,
by
bees. Yeah, and like such a heroic act. Doesn't he run in there to get her ring?
Oh.
And then he loses his glasses, and that's why he dies. But there's something that he didn't need to go in there, and he did for something for her.
So, Warrior on a Plane is your film that made you cry the most?
I think so.
I like that.
Like embarrassingly sobbing.
People glancing at your screen, it's just two men punching each other. Yeah.
Basically, I'm like, what is the state of humanity if two brothers have to fight each other?
For a belt.
Oh, God. Yeah.
What is the film that scared you the most?
I did do a horror film a couple of years ago and I had never watched. It's called Jezebel. Yeah. Puzzled look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, and I'd never seen any horror.
Yes.
Because I'd been too scared to watch films that scare me. And also I think I'd been told by mum not to watch them, or I wasn't allowed to watch them, but I never had an interest in seeking out scaring myself. So I went on a whole like binge of watching horror films. It's like, this is my research. I'll watch a lot of horror films. And I found that I was like, oh, I quite like horror films that scare you because I know that it's not real. But the one that scared me the most, that actually genuinely scared me, is American Psycho.
Interesting.
Because that's possibly real.
Yeah.
And I just want people to be nice and want us all to get along, and to have someone be so cruel and malicious in for intent and personal gain and narcissism and all of that just make it, ugh. Yeah, I found that really deeply unsettling and scary.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
It's also a comedy, that film.
Yeah.
It's made as a comedy.
Like, I know, but I didn't really see it as a comedy.
No, that's totally fair. It's a very
but
dark
I
would,
maybe I'd watch it again. But I kind of came away from that going, oh, humans, it's terrifying.
But that's also the world of Succession.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, all that.
But when I was a kid, the one that scared me the most was, I don't even really remember the rest of the film because I was probably in the corner in terror.
Yeah.
Went on to a sleepover for a friend's 15th, 14th birthday. Bunch of girls, maybe 11 of us in a living room, and we watched Jawbreaker.
What's
Do you know
Jawbreaker?
That film, Jawbreaker? I don't really remember it much, but it's like three girls who kidnap a friend of theirs as a joke.
Right.
And they tie her up. They, like, you know, dress up and they as, like, people who are going to mug her, and they tie her up and they put a gumball, a Jawbreaker gumball in her mouth, and then they throw her in the boot of the car. And they've put, like, duct tape over the top. And then they get to where they're going, and it's all meant to be a big old joke. And then they open the boot of the car and she's swallowed the gumball and it's in the middle of her throat and she's dead. That, and I'm like in a room of 11 girls and going, one of them's going to kill me. One of them's going to put a Jawbreaker in my mouth. Yeah. I don't remember the rest of the film. I was terrified. And I also was the only one who didn't sleep that night. So I remember people were watching the film going, this is stupid, and dropping off. And I was just sitting there in terror.
You were vigilant. You were like, I can't pull this thing.
I can't remember the rest of the film. I was just vigilant that, like,
shit.
Yeah.
You're like, I need to get over to Matthew Nobles. It's my safer there with the boys.
Yes. I'm going to go back to Aladdin.
Fuck. That's a horrible film.
Yeah.
So you don't like
it. It's probably a comedy as well. It's probably a comedy, and I missed the point, and I just took it too literally. It's like, no.
You don't like being scared?
I don't mind it. I quite like, you know, like, I love going to, you know, the Hollywood Horror Nights and all those sort of, like, silly, quote-unquote silly sort of horror stuff. Because, you know, like, being chased by a chainsaw in a theme park is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Because I know that there's no teeth in that chainsaw. It's just, like, the sound. Like, I remember we went to the Hollywood Horror Nights. Is it the Universal Studios, I think?
Yeah.
And I was genuinely running in a circle. The guy was chasing me in a circle around myself. If I wanted to get away, I could have, but I was in tears laughing so hard and so scared, but in this kind of, like, hysteria.
Yeah.
My boyfriend at the time was just, like, standing back watching me going, you're running in a circle. Like, you... You're actually that scared. I'm like, I'm terrified. And I love that feeling. But when it's dark, and when it's darkness of, like, the human soul and our capacity to hurt each other, that's...
Yeah.
I can't abide that.
I'm completely uncomfortable. I love horror films, but I don't like... I hate torture ones. I hate it where it's just people being horrible. Mm. I like ghosty ones.
Yeah, those are fun. I remember, The Conjuring?
Love The Conjuring.
Loved The Conjuring.
Conjuring's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, I went and saw that at the cinema, and that was the best because, like, you scare at the same time, and then everyone, and then someone at the back goes, oh, and everyone laughs at them, but they're also like, oh, I'm so glad someone else made the sound that I wanted to. And there's that sort of tension release thing, like watching A Quiet Place at the cinema. Wow.
Yeah.
What an experience. So everyone's so quiet.
Yeah. I didn't touch my popcorn. I was furious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shouldn't have bought popcorn.
No. I'm glad you didn't eat it.
Crying and shit. You don't mind crying in front of people?
Don't mind crying in front of people. No, I mean, I do it for my job.
Yeah. Can I ask you about that? You're genuinely, I'll say this, I've said this to you off mic, well, I'll say it on mic. You're a fucking amazing actor. And in our show, you were extraordinary. And there's a bit, no spoilers, but at some point you have to do a bit of crying. And it was so good, but I'm genuinely, I don't know how you do it. And I wonder if you could... Tell me. Is it just you're imagining exactly as this character? Is there a trick in your head? Is there a physical thing you can make yourself do that makes you cry?
Yeah, there's, like, you know, you keep your eyes open as long as you can. That helps. Having empathy for the character. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why I cry more now in films than I used to. I remember being a teenager and seeing, like, my mum cry in a film or something like that and being like, why is she crying? This isn't sad. But teenagers genuinely, like, neurologically have less empathy.
Really?
Which is really
less
interesting.
Less than a child?
Less than a child. They go through a stage developmentally where they have less empathy.
Why?
And part of that is, I'm not sure why, but there's probably a reason for evolutionary wise. But that's part of why people like Hitler and who was the one, Pol Pot, like these like youths, mm-hmm. teenage rebel youths,
yeah.
are so easily sort of converted and able to commit such atrocities that you go like, how could you bear to do that? Because they genuinely have less empathy. Yeah. It's not that they're not going to grow into empathy. It's just, it's a neurological thing where they have to learn it again. Uh-huh. And I feel like that I've had that experience where I've seen, you know, a film that I didn't really understand or I watched and went, yeah, that's a good film. And then watched it again and bawled my eyes out.
Like, yeah.
Or even a film like watching, I started watching Moana on the plane because I wanted to cry.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what part, I ended up not finishing it because...
couldn't take it.
I could, no, because something else was happening. But I remember just like, just the barest thing made me start crying. I was like, I don't think I'm really ready for this right now. I can't. I'm going to bawl completely. So I'm going to stop this now. Because like, it was like a really small thing. I was like, I don't know, someone getting a scratch and crying. Or usually the thing that makes me cry is kindness to other people. Yeah. Like in Toy Story, what's the one, 3, with the kids, where he's like, he's got to go to college? Is that the one?
Yeah,
is that 3? The only part that made me cry in that, like I really expected to cry a lot more. The only part that made me cry was when she offers him the toys back
yeah.
when they're playing together. It's like, oh,
yeah.
oh, it's like, that's really sad. Yeah, but anyway, I think as I've gotten older, it's easier to imagine, to cry, but to imagine what it's like to be another person because you have more sort of experience of that you've gone through yourself and that you can imaginatively then put yourself in the position of that character. Also just breathing. Yeah.
Brilliant.
It's a technical sort of thing, just like being in touch with your breath and allowing something to hit you or allowing yourself to really feel something on a deep level.
I mean, we didn't make you do it a lot, but could you, if we'd have for whatever reason had to sort of shoot that all day, could you have kept crying or would it have been like, oh, I'm done now?
Yeah, it depends. I've learnt that like you get a muscle memory for it, and this sounds really weird, but also hydrating because like you're yeah. expelling liquid, and so you need to hydrate. And it actually, I have found when I've decided to go like, no, stay in it. You've got to be in it and mm-hmm. can't leave. Then you sort of deplete the cup, I guess, and you have to step away from it and think about other things. And I find it very difficult to stay in something without giving myself a break from it so that when I come back to it, it's fresh. So it's much easier if you sort of just break the spell for a second.
Right.
If you're going to be going for, you know, 5-6 hours. Uh-huh. Not that I've ever really had to do a crying scene for 6 hours, in which case I would be like, you need to schedule this better. And also like...
You really need to...
Maybe I shouldn't be crying. Is that why we're going again? Like maybe I should be acting better? Like...
Yeah.
Something wrong.
No, you're fine. Just keep
up the tears.
Man. What is the film that people don't like? Critically, not acclaimed. Most people think it's shit, but you're like, fuck off everyone, this film's brilliant.
I don't have a lot of films like that where I love it and no one else. But I think I've had the experience where I remember liking a film a lot and I saw it when I was a kid. I haven't seen it since. Maybe it doesn't hold up, but I've heard it since been disparaged and people are like, oh, that film.
What is it?
Chocolat.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah.
People are like,
fucking film.
That, exactly. And I'm like, oh, yeah. But I had such a great time when I watched it back in the day.
I think that film is like totally lovely, fine.
Yeah.
As in, it's not a bad film in any way. I think it's just like, for some people, it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely not a bad film. Chocolate.
Okay, cool. I'd never seen it again.
Lovely. It's lovely.
I saw it a couple of times when I was a kid, obviously.
Yeah.
It's a lovely film. It's lovely.
It's lovely.
But a lot of people don't like it. So.
No. People don't like Lovely, though, do they? People don't like Amelie.
No. People didn't like Eat, Pray, Love as well, and those kinds of films. But I sort of like, I get the purpose of them, you know, like.
Which is?
I don't know, make people happy, give people hope. Do you know what I did? I actually looked up the top on IMDb. I was like, oh, fuck, I've got to get my film knowledge up again. And I was like scrolling through. It's somewhat revealing about the state of humanity, I guess, at the top 200 films.
Yeah.
A lot of them are about guns and violence and murder and war and not many Eat, Pray, Loves are up there.
Not enough women going on tours of the world.
It's just not enough women, to be honest.
Yeah.
Top 10 films, all male leads and male protagonists and male directors. And
this is the top 10, like, on IMDb. Box office?
No, it's like or top voted. IMDb rated. So, you know, that's like...
Shawshank.
Yeah.
Godfather.
Yeah. Emily was in the top 200, which is why it reminded me of
right.
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think she was number 200. Yeah.
It's clinging on at the end.
Yeah.
You used to like me.
Yeah.
That's all right. What's the film that you used to love, but you've watched it recently and you went, oh, I don't like this anymore?
I don't know why, but I used to be a really big Billy Crystal fan.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. City Slickers. Loved that film. Yeah. Does not hold up.
Really?
Terrible.
Used to be one of my favourite films.
Mate, same. I was like, City Slickers. Whoa.
Why
crazy.
Didn't it hold up?
It's just like, it's boring. It's saccharine and sentimental. And here's me going like, hey, pray yeah, love. Right, we need some more pray love around. It's just like, and he won an Oscar for it as well.
Jack Palance.
No, Billy Crystal. He was nominated for it, I think. Or
Jack Palance won the Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah, but I think posthumously, I think he died between.
No, because he did push-ups at the Oscars. Went on push-ups.
Got it. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Billy Crystal got nominated for a Golden Globe then. Anyway,
good.
It's not great.
Jake Gyllenhaal in it, doing a farty armpit. He's the son.
Yeah, yeah. Watch it.
I don't want to now.
I mean, maybe I was not in the right mood to watch it again, but I was pretty excited to watch it again and was like, this is just destroying my childhood. Because I watched City Slickers 2, Analyze This, Analyze That. Yeah.
To be honest,
what kind of 10-year-old
City Slickers was sort of killed for me by City Slickers 2.
Yeah.
Which is a dark,
I don't remember
money. Just, I think because the message of City Slickers 1 was so sort of joyful and seize the day and live your life and have adventures. And then they made City Slickers 2. It's like, let's make money.
Yeah.
Instead.
Yeah.
All right.
Not great.
Well, that's made me sad.
Yeah, sorry.
What is the film that means the most to you? Not because the film itself.
Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree, or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term program. That's right! They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre, and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia, and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu. Thanks, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hello, my neighbour Maureen. What's this I hear about you getting a promotion at the office? Didn't you just get promoted last month? It's all thanks to Canva. I've been nailing every meeting with AI-powered Canva presentations. Isn't that Canva's AI slide generator where you just describe your presentation in a few words and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds? That's right. And to top it off, I use Magic Write, Canva's AI text generator, to perfect my points. Sounds brilliant, Maureen. No more copying and pasting from other programs. No more app switching. Can Canva Docs with Magic Write generate any text you want for work? Yes. Sales proposals, marketing plans? Yeah. Meeting agendas, ratings of all 12 Muppet movies using the extensive point system that I developed at age 12. Anyone can save time with Canva's AI-powered tools. Generate your draft fast with Canva Docs at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Is that any good? Might be. But more because the experience you had watching it, the story you remember it from.
I've got two.
Okay.
One, watching, and I know that I'm not mentioned Titanic, but.
It's not been mentioned for a while. You can mention Titanic.
Titanic only because it was the first film that I saw and loved. And I was like, this film is amazing.
Yeah.
Like I saw it at the cinema and I felt sort of more adult going and seeing that. And then I went and saw it with my sister at the cinema again, and I had forgotten, I guess, what happens.
It's fucking crashed. What? What the fuck?
No. Earlier. This was like the joyful opening sequence of him getting on the boat. Yeah. I was in tears, bawling so uncontrollably that I had to leave. My sister thought that I'd gone food poisoning and I was throwing up in the bathroom. I watched for the first third of the, maybe even half of the film, I watched in the entrance, the VOM. Like I'd gone to the toilet because I couldn't bear the fact that they were getting on the boat that was doomed, that was going to sink, that I knew it was going to sink and I couldn't actually do anything about it. I couldn't. Yeah. I wanted to yell at the screen, like, don't get on the boat. Just don't. Yeah. Just don't. It's fate. Like, I can't stop it and they can't. They won't. They're going to get on the boat and I just, and they're going to have this whole thing. And the experience of knowing what was the future for these people and not being able to prevent their deaths or their...
Experiencing time all at once.
Yes.
Like a loaf of bread.
Yes. And so then I left the cinema and went to the bathroom and...
For 3 hours?
No, cried for longer and then I got myself together and splashed my face with water and I came back into the little, is it the VOM? The vomitorium? The entrance into... I don't know what it's called. Anyway, the entrance into the cinema. Where you can see the cinema, and then you have to go around to get to the seats.
Oh.
See the screen. And as soon as I entered again, I was like, oh, they're on the boat. They're on the boat. Bawling again.
But I warned you.
I can't do anything about this. Crying. But then I sat there for a long time. I must have looked like I'd snuck into the cinema. Right. But I had a ticket. My sister was like, where is Sarah? And I sat by the entrance because I couldn't bear the pain of watching them suffer, and then went and sat by my sister. She's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah." So I just got upset.
That's really sad.
Yeah. But the other great scene was The Artist. I was in New York for the first time, and a friend got in touch with their friend and said, "Ryan, can you take Sarah out? She's in New York." And we went out for coffee or something, and he said, "I've got $5 tickets. I'm a MoMA member. $5 tickets to this new film called The Artist. Do you want to come? It's a special screening. I think they're doing a Q&A afterwards." And I had never heard of the film. I didn't know that it had just, been to Cannes, done all the sort of the whole thing. Most extraordinary film I've ever seen in the cinema because the audience, it's a silent film. The audience did the soundtrack because they're all going, oh, oh, ah. Like all these laughs were in unison. And the music for it, if you watch it with a cinema full of people, the music for it guides you. It's extraordinary. It was just an amazing cinema experience to have. And then, everyone immediately stood and clapped and so much so that I was desperate for my boyfriend at the time. I was like, we have to go see this film. You would have loved it, blah, blah, blah. We went and saw it in Newtown in Sydney and there were six people in the audience and it was really slow. It was very boring. It was hard to watch. I had an exact opposite experience. I enjoyed it still, but I was so desperate for everybody to enjoy it as much as I did the first time that I was getting anxiety that that people would think less of the film because they didn't have the experience that I had watching it.
I had the same experience with Bad Boys 2. I did. I saw Bad Boys in a packed cinema on opening day in Harlem.
Yeah.
And it was fucking amazing. People were shouting at the screen because it was like, it was one of my favourites in my experiences.
Yeah.
And then 6 months later, I went to sit in Kent with my friend Paul, basically telling him it was the best film ever made. Yeah. And there were about 10 people there and no one laughed. And I was like, this is shit. I hate Kent.
Oh, man.
Kent doesn't know how to watch Bad Boys 2.
It can backfire, though, because I saw Moneyball at the cinema, in a full cinema. Yeah. And I got really like, I don't like that film for some reason. I think I should watch it again because I've heard that it is good and I know that it's probably good. But I got very Australian about the vocal American support for Brad Pitt in particular. They were like, yeah, you tell him, Brad, yelling at the screen. I was like, what the fuck? Let him do, let's just settle down, all right? So I had it was turning me off the film rather than encouraging me to be a part of it. So
that's fair.
Yeah.
What is the is the sexiest film you've ever seen?
I think Romeo and Juliet.
Nice.
Yeah.
You love a bit of Leo, don't you?
Well, it's at that time, I guess. The soundtrack as well. Mm. Really good soundtrack.
One of the great soundtracks.
Great soundtrack. Holds up still.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just
any
there's
particular moment or the whole vibe.
No, I'm just thinking about it now. Like there's like the romance of obviously Romeo and Juliet, but there's also a lot of sensuality to the film, which I think you don't sort of think of when you think of Romeo and Juliet as the play or the star-crossed lovers. They're very like, you don't think of the sensuality or the sort of explosion of puberty in that kind of world.
Mm.
I think the film does well in exploring that.
There's a subcategory
yeah.
to this question. Troubling boners, worrying why don'ts. A film you found arousing, but you weren't sure you should.
Well, I think Aladdin is the answer to this.
Yes. Because you were immediately shamed.
Immediately shamed. I also wanted to be Aladdin, but had a crush on Aladdin, which I think is a lot of the time, like, that's how my romantic life has been, is like, I want to be you, or I'll just be with you. You know, like, I've got, like, such a
either or,
idolizing of the person that I'm like, you know, I kind of just want to be you, but if I could just
be
near you.
I'll be the carpet.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wanted to be Aladdin, but also, like, I definitely wanted to be the genie. But I think, yeah, I think Aladdin, like, I had a bit of a crush on him. He's not really my type now, but...
You like men with nipples now?
Yes. And not wearing purple vests and pantaloons with a little fez.
You fancied the genie a bit as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Big, broad chest.
Yeah. Funny,
slim waist,
sassy.
Very slim waist.
Very slim waist. Yeah. Turn into anything.
Yeah.
You know, be anywhere.
Yeah, he's great. And do voices.
Lots. Yeah, very entertaining.
What is the film you most relate to?
Yeah, so this is maybe a different kind of answer. I did a film back in like 2011, I think, called Not Suitable for Children. And when it came out, people were like, wow, Sarah, cool, she's great. She's Australia's Emma Stone. I was like, fucking hell, what?
You are Australia's Emma Stone.
Thanks, yeah. So I kept getting this.
And I can sleep, finally.
People kept on telling me this and I'd never seen any of her stuff, but I was a bit like, oh, can't I just be Australia's Sarah Snook? Or can't I just be like my own name? Or can't I be like, can't she be America's Sarah Snook?
Yeah.
You know, like just, I wanted to be my own person. Anyway, then I went and watched Easy A, which had come out maybe a year, 2 years before. It was sort of like at the beginning of her thing. And I watched that and was like, oh, yep. No, I am Australia's Emma Stone. She's a better version of me. Fuck. God damn it. Damn it. I could have done this film. I wouldn't have done it as well as she does.
Yeah.
Because I'm a beta copy of Emma Stone.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so that's really the one I watched and went, this is me.
Clicked into place now.
Mm.
Yeah. I think we thought we were getting Emma Stone.
I know.
When we booked
you've been effusive in your praise. It's only to cover your disappointment.
Just like that, you're not Emma Stone. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we've got, listen, the credits, we don't have to.
No, you can just change
we'll
the name.
Just put it, yeah.
Yeah. No one else will know.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh yeah, Emma Stone just looks a little different.
Yeah.
Not that much different, even.
No.
Acting the same, yeah.
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 We've also got J.J. Field in the series, who looks exactly like Tom Hiddleston.
Oh,
basically,
yeah.
We've made a series with lookalikes.
It's the doppelgangers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the film, objectively, that's the greatest film of all time?
This is a hard one.
Not your favourite. Just objectively the pinnacle of cinema.
I don't like saying things that are definitive.
I know.
In this way.
Unfortunately, that's the rules. I wouldn't answer that question, but then I haven't died falling off a rocket ship.
Well.
Trying to save humanity.
In that case, it should be gravity. I think it's possibly The Incredibles.
I mean, no one saw that coming. No one.
I love that film.
Not even Emma Stone, if she's in your head. Tell me about The Incredibles.
The only film I've ever walked out of at the end and walked straight back in and bought another ticket and watched it again.
Really?
Yeah.
Why so?
I loved it. I just loved it. I love superheroes. Surprisingly, I haven't like watched a lot of Avengers or any of the other superhero films, but I just love the concept. I really did love the concept of superheroes at that time. It's funny. It's got a good message. And then Incredibles 2, super psyched, and I really loved it as well.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. I don't know what objectively is the greatest film. Probably The Godfather, probably.
That's what
everyone says.
But Incredibles is a more interesting answer.
Well, a bit of lightness, a bit of fun, a bit of humour.
Yeah.
Life of Brian, maybe?
I think that's a very good shout.
I think humour needs to be in the greatest film.
Yeah.
Of all time, because otherwise, where are we?
Yeah.
You know?
Agreed.
The top 10 films in IMDb's sort of reckoning do not have really any...
No jokes in them.
I don't think so. From memory, I was like, that's dark. That's dark. That's got guns. Damn, that's like...
I think people forget about humour. Sort of take it for granted. Don't realise that they need it. And that it's quite easy to be dark.
It is.
Comparatively.
And I love watching films with humour, but I don't... I'm going to go watch a comedy now.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't do that. But a film that is funny with drama and heart, that makes me think that's the best.
Like The Incredibles.
Yeah. or maybe I'm going to put that for something else. Yeah, I'll put
it. Listen, I'm giving you The Incredibles.
Okay, great.
It's a very good film.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
What is the film you can or have watched the most over and over again?
I got a lot of answers. And they all seem to be in the 90s.
Okay.
But I think I watched like films a lot because I was home alone a lot when I was a kid by myself. And I must have just watched a lot of films then and watched the same ones over and over. Like I've watched Aladdin countless, like infinite amount of times, and Lion King and Free Willy and Beethoven and Little Princess and
Love Little Princess,
Pretty Woman and Good Will Hunting and Best Friend's Wedding and Priscilla Queen of the Desert and in the Cupboard and Mighty Ducks and White Fang and Matilda and Mrs. Doubtfire and Jumanji and all the ones with Robin Williams. Yeah, so ones that I could watch over and over again. Now, I don't tend to watch films twice, but then I used to watch them a lot.
Not since The Incredibles.
Not since The Incredibles. The last film I did that with, like, walked out and watched it. It was 2 days apart. The Lego Movie was the last film I saw at the cinema twice. Yeah.
Too animated.
Yeah, love an animated. Mm. My mum used to be a Disney rep.
What? And
would bring home animated films. So I just watched, like, Aladdin,
What's
Snow White.
Disney rep?
Well, I think she's just like...
a hype man for Disney.
Yeah, like selling... Disney VHSs.
Oh, wow.
And so I grew up watching. She would bring them home for me to watch.
That's cool.
Very cool. So like Little Mermaid, Peter Pan, Winnie the Pooh, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, Cinderella, Aladdin, Lion King.
Hunchback Notre Dame?
No, she'd left by the time that one came out.
Have you seen that?
I've got a really like sort of line between like Mulan, she'd gone. That, you know, like there's the late Disney that I'm like, nah, it's not real Disney, which is really silly.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's informed a lot. And also within that, like all the characters, my favorite character, because I have a problem, I guess, with the idea of this princess sort of thing where you need a man to save you and you know, the kiss of the Sleeping Beauty and all those kinds of things. Yeah. I'm like, that's a bit fucked as a narrative to be telling our young daughters of the world. And yet I watched all those films growing up. And the thing I came away with it was like, I want to be Ursula. I want to be Jafar. I want to be the genie.
Yeah,
I want to be Aladdin. I want to be Sebastian. And I like all the characters.
All the cool characters.
Yeah. I could dig a little Simba, but Nala, whatever. Timon and Pumbaa, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not even Cinderella. What about Cinderella? Do you want to be Prince Charming? I mean, who's interested in Cinderella? The mice?
The mice.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And Sleeping Beauty, you want to be...
I didn't really watch that very much because there was no evil character that... Snow White, the dwarves, and the queen, but most of the dwarves.
Isn't Maleficent in Sleeping Beauty?
No. It's the story of the evil queen, right? I haven't seen Maleficent.
Yeah.
She's the
bad guy in Sleeping Beauty.
Right.
You'd have liked that.
Mm.
Okay, I'm going to give you the Indian in the cupboard. What is... we don't like to be negative, but we'll do it quick. What's the worst film you've ever seen?
Gremlins.
Okay. There's a lot of people just throwing their listening devices at the wall and they're like, I liked Australia's Everstone. I'm totally happy to hear your thoughts on why Gremlins, beloved, literally just re-released and every film magazine's given it 5 stars. Beloved Gremlins.
Literally re-released and given 5 stars.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
This month, I've read it in 4 magazines.
Mate.
Re-released in cinemas, and I'm surprised, 5 stars across the board.
It's terrible. It's such a bad film.
Why?
The puppetry's bad. I watched it. Okay, granted.
Yeah.
I have zero nostalgic attachment to it. Never saw it until 3 years ago. And I was like, oh, Gremlins. Everyone loves Gremlins. You can watch Gremlins. I was like, this is some xenophobic... weird, like, No, it's terrible. It's really bad. The Gremlins are kind of like, ugh, nah. I got really pissed off watching it. Maybe that's why City Slickers was bad, because we watched them both the same night.
No, you had a terrible night. I think I watched Gremlins recently and think my criticism was only that it's very slow, surprising.
It's so slow.
It was amazing how long it took for fucking Gremlin to pop up in Gremlins.
Yeah.
But Gremlins 2.
Really?
Magnific. Gremlins 2, the new batch.
Okay, Gremlins 2, the only thing I know about Gremlins 2 is Jordan Peele's.
Yes.
And I think that's brilliant. I just don't need to watch it now. That's funny. Like...
But it's really funny, Gremlins 2. It's just like a sketch show, and it's taking the piss out of Trump.
Okay.
And it's funny. And they all sing New York, New York.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Gremlins 1, though, man. Slow.
Slow. It is slow.
All this, like, oh, it's a German-made car. It's probably... I'm like, what the fuck is this xenophobe? Like, come on. Can't we all just get along?
Yeah. What is the... Listen, you're funny. What's the funniest film? What's the film that made you laugh the most?
The Castle.
Fucking great film.
Castle, and that would be like one, if I was going to watch again and again and again, I've seen that one so many times. I love that film. It's so good. It's great. It's just so charming. They shot it in like 10 days. It's like the best sort of cobbled together brilliance. And teamwork. And I love it.
Do you know what I really like about this?
Quite a lot.
Every Australian that I've had on this show has picked The Castle. And the reason I really like that is that I love The Castle. Castle went around the world and was brilliant. But it's the sort of film where I would worry that an Australian would go, that's not what Australia's like, but all the Australians love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Crocodile Dundee is like, that's not what Australia... Not that I've, to be honest, never seen the film.
Okay.
But...
You can tell.
The Castle... is just so good.
Yeah.
When they're shopping trolley home with the luggage in it because they're so close to the airport, and the happiness about that, like sort of like the innocent naivety of like, yeah, and it's great because we just bring a trolley home. So close to the airport. But everyone has to be like, get away from the airport, it's bad real estate. They're like, oh, isn't it great? Just like seeing the good side of things, seeing the bright side of life, seeing like, you know, choosing to see the positive side. I love that. Tell him he's dreaming. You know, all those, like, all the quotes. It's the vibe. It's...
Eric Banner.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Comedy. Excellent.
Lovely answer.
Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term program. That's right. They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu. Thanks, Maureen.
Hello, my neighbour Maureen. What's this I hear about you getting a promotion at the office? Didn't you just get promoted last month?
It's all thanks to Canva. I've been nailing every meeting with AI-powered Canva presentations. Isn't that Canva's AI slide generator, where you just describe your presentation in a few words and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds? That's right. And to top it off, I use Magic Write, Canva's AI text generator, to perfect my points. Sounds brilliant, Maureen. No more copying and pasting from other programs. No more app switching. Can Canva Docs with Magic Write generate any text you want for work? Yes. Sales proposals? Marketing plans? Yeah. Meeting agendas? Ratings of all 12 Muppet movies using the extensive point system that I developed at age 12? Anyone can save time with Canva's AI-powered tools. Generate your draft fast with Canva Docs at canva.com, designed for work.
Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Sarah Snook.
Yes.
You've been wonderful. However, When you were 92 and as part of a new program that you set up, which was Old People Save the World, you said goodbye to your remaining family.
Mm-hmm.
They were fine with it. They were like, listen, you were like, listen, I might come back. And they were like, okay, we'll say goodbye just in case.
Yeah.
Wink, wink. And you're like, no, I think I'm coming back. And they went, yeah, okay, gran. And they said, but just so you know, I'm saying goodbye. I love you and I'm saying goodbye.
Yeah.
And you were like, see you in a bit. And they were like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I was being super grand.
Got on this, you went super grand. You went on a rocket ship.
Mm-hmm.
You got out of the atmosphere. You got a load of space invoices and you started inputting data that would for Greta Thunberg to put into her abacus because she doesn't use electricity. And you did this, but for some reason, one of the accounts that flew out the window, you're like, oh, I better get on the side of the rocket ship, pick up that invoice. You stepped out with your helmet, everything on, but you fell off, just slipped off the edge. Mm. Clumsy. And you slipped off the edge of the spaceship and you started free floating through space, heading towards the atmosphere because you were pointed down.
Mm.
And you thought, oh, it'd be nice to get a little high. I haven't got any weed on me. Maybe I'll see if I can intake a load of oxygen.
Yeah.
And as your body got near to the atmosphere, where it was about to explode, instead, you popped open the hood of your helmet.
Mm-hmm.
You went, and your head exploded. Just exploded everywhere. All over space.
Yeah.
Anyway, I heard about this. And I was like, bloody hell, Muggins here's got to clean up. So I had to fly into space.
Yeah.
I went out on one of them rope things, scraping up the bits of your fucking head that have blown up.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, listen, I'm a friend. Scraped it all together, but there's bits of debris from the spacesuit that exploded with it. There's like bits of stars. I mean, we're all made of stars, but you at this point literally were. Anyway, I got all of you back together. I brought you back to Earth. It was a fucking mess, I'm not going to lie. And there was a lot more of you than I'd expected because of all the extra bits I picked up. Stuff all of you into a coffin. The coffin was originally made to your specifications, but there's more of you.
Well, I was melded with the debris.
You melded with the debris. Gun. The pressure had actually made your body expand.
Yeah.
And the explosion,
a real mess.
Yeah. Stuffed you in. The thing is, it's full now, this coffin. Mm. It's absolutely rammed.
Mm.
And there's only room for one DVD that I could slide in the side and send you over to the other side of it. And on the other side, it's movie night every night. What movie are you taking to show everyone on your movie night?
I think Boy.
She's taking Boy.
I think Boy. There's a lot of films one could take.
Yeah, I think James Acaster's taking Boy, so.
Oh, damn it, I have to take a different one?
No, you've taken it. People like it that much, they'll be happy it came around again.
Maybe if no one's taken Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, have they taken that one?
No, I think that's stayed on there. So you can take, okay, you're going to take Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. All right.
I'll take Boy.
You take Boy.
Yeah.
It's
a gold platinum edition.
Sarah Snook, is there anything you would like to tell anyone to look out for? Or to follow you on?
Look out for my space program, Old People.
Old People Save the World.
Look out, look both ways when you cross the road. I don't know. We start shooting in April, so for the third season, there is a third season. It'll come out next year some point. Look out for this, The Thing, which doesn't have a name yet. Is it named?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we
That'll
have
be
a
out
name
after.
For it, but I don't know if we're allowed it yet.
Yeah.
So look out for
the
out for
untitled Brett Goldstein and Will Bridges
project
starring
it's about soulmates.
Multiple people. It's about soulmates. Yeah.
Stars. It stars England's Tom Hiddleston and Australia's Emma Stone. And it also has Ben Kingsley in it, so it's got the lot.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing this. It's a really big deal. I know you don't do these things. I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome, of course.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Well done. Thank you.
Thank you. Good to be here. Thanks.
Good to have you.
So that was the wonderful Sarah Snook in a rewind episode of Films to be Buried With. We'll see you again next week for another episode. But in the meantime, and I'm doing this off memory, so I'm not going to get this right, but be well, take care of yourselves and each other. That's not it, is it? Oh, yeah, this is it. Be excellent to each other.
Brett, sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett.
Thank you, Maureen.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com. Designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.